thinking, didn't he say that every week until now? It's true of a lot of favorites. But one of the reasons it's a favorite is it happens to be around my anniversary. It was my Afrof Parsha. And it also happens to be one of the first ideas that I discovered on my own that became converted into a sicha. Each one of the avos, we've discussed Avram at great length, how he personifies the mitzvah, the midah of chesed. Yitzchak, how he personifies the midah of gevura. And with each of the avos, we explained how that of, that forefather, really exemplifies that characteristic in a way that's greater, in greater measure than the others. It would make sense, Avram was such a paradigm of chesed, I would not potentially put that trait with Yitzchak or with Yaakov. It was so clear, he was the master of it. Yitzchak, the master of gevura, which we explained last week, self-control, kibush hayetzer, that was a midah of Yitzchak in greater measure than anyone else. What is the midah attributed to Yaakov? The midah of emes, the midah of truth. And the difficulty that I have with this is that even if we would want to retranslate every story that seems to be sneaky and deceptive, oh, that was true. He was allowed to do that. Yeah, kind of true. Emes, I don't know, when Yitzchak said, so who are you? Are you my son Esav? And he says, Anochi, Esav Bechorecha. Ani, Esav Bechorecha. Ani Bechorecha Esav. I am your firstborn Esav. So Rashi says, no, Ani Bechorecha. I am your firstborn. Comma, Esav. Someone else. There's also another fella, Esav. That's deceptive. But you know what? We want to rewrite it and understand it. Okay. It is. He's also emistic. We'll give it to him. How do you explain that Yaakov Avinu is the midah of emes? He personifies it more than any one of the other avos. How does that make sense? There are many more questions along these lines, but as we know, the hour is late, so we'll just jump into the punchline. Yaakov symbolizes emes. Now, later on in the Torah, we find that every one of the avos has a concept in his death of two words, vayigva, vayamot. Vayigva is some concept of the neshama leaving the body or preparing to leave the body. Vayamot, and he died. He perishes and he dies. He gets ready for perishing and he dies. Everyone has this. Avram, vayigva vayamot. Yitzchak, vayigva vayamot. Moshe Rabbeinu, vayigva vayamot. Yaakov, vayigva. He prepared for death, he didn't die. Vayamot is missing. The word and he died is not there. So the Gemara says, Yaakov Avinu lo meit. He didn't die. The Gemara says, question. They embalmed him. I really hope he died. What do you mean when you say Yaakov didn't die? So the Gemara has the answer that it provides. Yaakov Avinu, lo mate. And the Gemara says, because he had children, so he lived through his children. An answer, technically, that cannot be answered for every single time in history. You have a historical figure today, where a number of Rebbes are to be stated that they have not yet died. Well, if they don't have children, then that answer of the Gemara can't be used. There are all sorts of funny things that go on. What does it mean that Yaakov didn't die? The word emes, the Maharal points out, means the concept not just of truth-telling. It's much greater and more vast than that. You have a perspective of the whole world being run by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Aleph to the Mem is 13 letters. From the Mem to the Tuf is 13 letters. And that together, 13 and 13, you have 26 letters. Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, the gematria of 26. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says in the Gemara, Chosamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo emes. The stamp of God in the world is emes. This mida, this attribute of God of being emes. So there's an attribute of Yaakov being emes and an attribute of God being emes. What does that mean? The aleph is at the beginning of the alphabet, tuf is at the end, and the mem is exactly in the middle. It spans the entire picture of life. Unlike the word sheker. Sheker, falsehood, spells out a word from comprised of three letters that are consecutive. Kuf, Resh, Shin. Three consecutive letters that possess no grand perspective of life. A very minimal perspective, that's all we see. When we have a limited view, that's not godly. Not only that, the Maharal points out that each one of those letters is unstable. The Kuf stands on one leg, the Resh is on one leg, the Shin is balanced in the Torah on an angle like this, and it's hanging on that one leg. Each one of them plops over. But Emes, each one of those letters has a base. The Aleph has two legs. The Tuf, the Mem, has a flat line on the bottom. Emes stands, not Emes falls apart. In other words, the reason why Yaakov is Emes more than the other Avos is because Avraham, he was told essentially what to do. Every single time Avraham goes somewhere, Hashem is right there telling him, Avraham, how about doing this? Yitzchak, Hashem appears to Yitzchak, and he tells him, he informs him, do this, Yitzchak. But Yaakov Avinu, Rabosai, is every single one of us. He is about to leave to Chutz La'aretz. And he has no idea what to expect. And he has a dream, and in this dream Hashem appears to him. And he tells him, Yaakov, hine anochi imach, I am with you. That's it? That's all you're going to tell me? I'm going to venture into Chutz La'aretz for 20-some years, and that's all you can offer me? You're going to be with me, but I won't see you? You won't actually converse with me and communicate with me while I'm in Chutz La'aretz? How do I know how to handle a deceptive person like Laban? How do I know how to deal with life? When to come back? You're not going to tell me? I'm just going to have to figure it all out? That is our lives. Every one of us is Yaakov Avinu. We have our lives set out. We're not Nevi'im. And we don't get told by Hashem, do this, say this, respond this way. This is a test. We're told nothing other than one promise. Hine anochi imach. Overall, you should know I am with you. If you tap into this and recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in our lives, that is the midah of emes. That's the attribute of truth. It's the attribute of godliness. Understanding the godly perspective. He's involved in the world and he's involved in our lives. That's the stamp of God in this world is emes. That's the midah of Yaakov Avinu. That every single day he had a cheshbon, a calculation to figure out. Is this the will of God or is it not? In other words, the way to survive a lack of clarity, not knowing which decision to make at any given moment, is by calculating this process. Is this the Ratzon Hashem? This is what God wants for me? Or is this the Ratzon Hashem? What should I do? And I'll give you a number of examples. So, a Talmid goes off for a Shabbos to his cousins, innocently. And he comes back and tells me, Rabbi, it was innocent. I didn't set it up. My cousins, I was there, and that, you know, a girl was there, and I like her. And I was thinking, maybe, how about I'll just stay in touch with her over the year, like every week, and that way, in about 3-4 years from now, when I'm interested in dating, I have that girl. She's lined up as a possible candidate. So, say, wow, that is such a guy way to think. String her along for about 4 years just to say if you're interested in dating her or not. That is brilliant. And she'll probably go along with it. Let me explain something. Hinei Anochi Imach tells us Hashem has the right one in place at the right time. You can make all sorts of calculations. But the truth is that when Stacy calls, wait a minute, she wants to go out. Right now it's night seder. Well, which one is the Ratzon Hashem? Which one does Hashem want from you right now? Overall, your year in Israel. So which one is, is that really true? The best way, the way to get the most out of a year is by having a constant preoccupation with a girlfriend? I don't know. Let's think about it. So I'll tell you like this. There are those boys that they've already known who they're marrying since they're in kindergarten. They've been going out with these girls. Okay. So let's make sure that it's a mature relationship. I'm not going to be the one to call off the wedding. You're just waiting for that day to book the hall, get the ring. It's already set in stone. I had chavrusa like that. They did not get married. That was like the biggest shock of the world. Everyone in the community, for years, 10 years, they knew that this couple was getting married. Well, they didn't. But those of you that have that relationship, I'm not going to be the naysayer. I understand it. What I'm talking about is all the people that are just looking for another one and another one. I'm collecting friendships and girlfriends and phone numbers and Facebook. And I have to, the more friends I have, it's a competition to see, you see, I'm popular. You like yourself based on how many girlfriends like you. And it gives, if only you could get like that varsity jersey and get the girl to wear it. Bam! I hit the gold. I am cool. And Rabosai, Hinei Anochi Imach means, if that's your ticket of how to marry the right person at the right time, I have a feeling that you're not answering this question of Yaakov Avinu. What is the cheshbon of the Ratzon Hashem? What is the will of Hashem today? And a lot of people start to mock this concept. Oh, it's the Ratz Hashem that I'm not going to get hit by a car, so I'll walk in the street and I won't get hit by a car. No, I'm talking about responsible living. I'm talking about, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want you to walk into the street without looking? No, that's a little ludicrous. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want you to take a job right now in the Shana Aleph year? I'll get it, right? There are some boys that figure, oh, I got to make money. Why? Just because. It's so cool. So I'm going to go and I'm going to open up a restaurant. Just on the side. It'll be a side business during, we have 2.5 hours or so during lunch break. I'll start a business. And it'll be great on my resume. The only problem is, am I giving my Torah a chance? Am I giving my tefillah a chance? Am I actually answering the question, what is Ratzon Hashem? So, that's just the concept. And with this, we'll begin to play with some examples that took place in my life. And we'll start my first year in Eretz Yisrael. And basically, I was a drummer, had a wedding band, and everything was going great. until I got a job for Night Seder. So I was a Rebbe. Rav Boaz hired me. And I was a Rebbe. And then we got a job to play a wedding after I'd already accepted to be a Rebbe for Night Seder. And it was one of those nights I was supposed to teach. So what do? You say, listen, I'll get a sub. And instead of me teaching, a substitute will teach. And I will go and make money. Now, it was our first drum job in Israel. My first drum job, first as a wedding. First wedding in Israel that I played. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to be a Night Seder Rebbe forever. Maybe I'll go into drumming and I'll be part of a wedding band. That's a great way to go. A few gigs every week and I'm set. So, how do I get known? The only way to get known in the world is by playing. So right now I'm a Night Seder Rebbe. Maybe next year I will take off. So now it's like I'm putting out my resume, my cards, by actually going out there and playing. So that way people at this wedding will say, oh, that's a killer drummer. I want him at my wedding. And then next year when I'm ready to go out there every night, I will get jobs. So I started calling up Rabbeim. What do you think? You think it's mutter or usher? I just took this job. I'm supposed to be reporting to work. I could get a sub, but you know, everyone here knows that when substitutes teach, it's really basic. It basically means bittul Torah for the entire shiur. No one's going to learn well, primarily. So I either waste everyone's time, but I get my job, or what do? And I could tell you the following. There is a boy who whose father lost $50 million with the most brilliant business plan. It was incredible. He figured out the one place on the planet, literally on the planet, which could have been tax-free with the import-export industry. He figured it. There's one spot on the planet. He figured out where it was, and he would have had basically free enterprise in terms of taxes. Unbelievable. It was brilliant. There's only one problem. There's one creator that's even more brilliant. I hate to say it that way, but when he told me the story of how it fell apart, it was so outrageous. Something that couldn't be imagined, that those set of events would have taken place. The only mind that's great enough to have toppled this brilliant business plan was the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who decides? I'm going to play, and there are a lot of people in the audience. Who's going to decide if everyone in the audience there says, wow, that was the greatest drummer ever. I got to have him at my wedding. Or they're like, that's the worst drummer ever. Who put him up there? Get him off of the stage. Who decides how it gets registered in people's minds? And I'd like to suggest that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in. So it doesn't pay for me to run counter to God because I'm not going to actually accomplish anything. I'm not going to get further in life if it's against His wishes. I have a brother who, Baruch Hashem, is an incredible businessman. He's the guy that could sell you a turnip twaddler. You don't even know what that is and you'll buy 100. He'll sell anything to anyone. Incredible. He started his own business. He made a killing. He was flying high, a lot of money for his first year in business. Well, the year before, 3 years prior to that, he was working for a different company, and he was the top salesman every month. He got the bonus for being the top salesman. And Avi Kual Wasserg, and again, Avi Kual, would you believe? And it's now September, again, every single month, month in, month out, he was the winning salesman. Why? Phenomenal. So he started his own business. Did smashing success first year. The following year went under. What happened? The old business got so upset that he left. They came up with the craziest plan of how to sue him in order to topple. They were so upset. How could you leave us? What, you're going to go be successful in your own business? He was flying high. He was doing so well. And what happened was criminal. what happened was unlikely, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, he saw to it, it's going to end now. Hakol L'tova, everything is for the good. I don't understand. The next guy may understand. It doesn't matter. The issue that I'm pointing to is that Hashem's hand is involved. And if we answer the question, what is Ratzon Hashem right now, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say, I'm going to be with you. So I'll tell you just three other stories, as long as I don't think of any others along the way. One is, I was, so after 1 year of being in Israel, I was drafted. Now, I was expecting to be drafted. We figured it out, my wife and I was going to be drafted for 3 months, about 100 days at most. And based on my the number of visits I came, when I came the first time, and it all worked out very clearly, I was going to be drafted somewhere around 3 months at most. Get the draft. Someone was managing our mail for us, a guy named Mark, and I call it Mark. How's that going with our mail? And he says, oh, it's actually, you have a green letter. It's an army letter. You want me to open that for you? Sure. I was expecting that. And all of a sudden, he opens it, and then there's like silence on the other end. Like, Mark, you want to tell me what it says? He says, sure. You expecting to be drafted? I say, yeah. He said, for how long? It's like, oh, at most 100 days. You sitting? Mark. Well, you're drafted for 12 months on December 15th, 1999. 12 months? I'm a newlywed. I just got married. Like, you got to be kidding. I don't understand. We checked this out. We spoke to the Jewish agency. We had figured this out. It's 3 months. If I would have been single, it would have been a different thing. I would have been more willing. Married man, you come back 12 months later. You don't even know your wife anymore. It's a crazy thing. So I call up this guy who was the head of the Jewish agency for recruiting and the army issues. So I said to him, Ellie, what's the deal? You're the one that told me I've got 3 months. It's now 12 months. What's it? He said, it's absolutely 3 months. You're set. I could even send it to you on stationery. It's not a problem. I said, well, actually, you know what I just realized? Ellie, does it make a difference that I did shun a bet? He's like, how could you not tell me that when we spoke about your... Of course it makes a difference. Oh, you're lucky they didn't get you for 3 years. There's absolutely nothing you could do right now. 3 years? This is a disaster. I can't believe this is happening. So I called Rav Shammai. I know that Rav Shammai has been here for like 30-some years, and he hasn't done the army, so I figured I'll call him. Whatever he's doing, I'll do that. I say, Rav Shammai, what do I have to do to be you? So he's like, oh, I'm really sorry. You can't. What I've done, you can't do, because you have to have already been in a registered yeshiva, and Gross Kollel, where you are, is not a registered yeshiva. They've got you. But don't worry. Obviously, Hashem has a great plan. You're going to do great things in the army. Maybe they need you. Like, easy for you to say. You're not going for 12 months. And I was really, really nervous. Now, it turns out I had a good friend at the time, the mashgiach of my yeshiva. Friend. He cared about me. He liked me. So I went to him. And I know he always dealt with all the army guys in the yeshiva. So I said, Rav, maybe you could help me. He said, sure. So he got the head of the Hezder yeshivas to write a letter on my behalf to the army. Wow, fire and brimstone. It was a great letter. Who do you think you are starting up with a married guy? Everyone knows you can't start. They had me totally. He was just bluffing the whole letter. And they did not have to address what he wrote. And they wrote back a great letter saying, you got your wish, it's pushed off 3 to 6 months, whenever you want on December 31st. So I called up the army and said, well, which one is it, when I want or December 31st? Because if it's when I want, I'm just telling you, it's not going to be December 31st. So they said, you have to ask your commander. So I said, well, who's that? So we won't know till you're drafted. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, it's now about 15 years later. Still haven't heard from the commander. So, Baruch Hashem. In the meantime, between those two moments in my life, between speaking with Rav Shammai of him saying basically, "Don't sweat it. It's okay. That's all cool. You'll be taken for 12 months." And the time, like a month later, when I got this great fax whenever I want, or about 15 years ago, so I said over the first perek of the Hallelukas, Halli Nafshi Es Hashem, repeatedly, over and over and over again. I must have said it 30, 40 times, because that perek is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. And I wanted to believe it, to stop being so nervous. You do the Ratzon Hashem. You do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You check that box. Yes, I'm now doing the Ratzon Hashem. Hashem's going to be there with you. So, one more great story, a personal story, and then a final story, not about me. Rav Machlis and I were very close for many, many years, already back in the days of BMT. And he had this great plan for me that I was going to open up his dream. I was going to open up a homeless shelter in Jerusalem for all the people that instead he's been taking care of single-handedly. And I had to go up the hill one evening. I had to take care of something very, very important. It was actually the purchase of our apartment, but I had to get a certain bus in order to get to the top of the hill to meet the guy. And then I'd be able to get back in time for my night seder, 7:15. I had to get the 6:45 bus. I was running late, and I ran through. There were two ways to run to the bus stop in those days. You could either run to the left, which is a steep ramp, or you can run up the stairs in through the building of Gruss, run up two flights of steps, run through the entryway, make a left turn, and go to the bus. Of course, when I decided to go through the building and I'm flying up the stairs, I pass by Rav Machlis, almost knocking him over. And he says, "Can I help you?" I was like, "No, thanks, Rav Machlis." And I go outside, make a dash for it, and I see the 21 out of the bus turning that traffic circle going up. Bye-bye. Gone. I'm late, and I missed the bus. And I am finished. I'm panicking. Now what do I do? By the time, even if I call a cab, it won't be in time. I'm going to be late. I have no idea what to do. Rav Machlis then comes up. I'm walking back with my head down to the yeshiva. I don't know, don't know. Rav Machlis sees me. "Can I help you now?" He's like, "Rav Machlis, are you going up the hill?" He goes, "I'm always going up!" So I said, "Rav Machlis, can we go together?" "We'll go up together!" So I said, "Great. We'll go up together." So we get in the mitzvah mobile, and we start heading up the hill. And he says to me, "Listen, I have a very important phone call that you have to make. Here, take this number." And I'm like, "Okay, I'm getting my paper and pen out." He goes, no problem. "Here, I have it." And it has my name written on it with the person's name and number that I'm supposed to call. I said, "Isn't that funny, Rav Machlis? How'd you know you were going to see me today?" So he says, "Well, I believe in the brachot that we say every morning. Hashem mechin mitzadei gaver. Hashem plans the footsteps of man. Of course I was going to see you today." So I said, "Oh, wow, I never realized that's one of our blessings that we say every morning. That's what it means." And listen to the story that took place. A sad story, but an important one nonetheless. There was a man named Reb Lazer Gordon. Reb Lazer Gordon became the Rav in Telz. And what happened was the previous Rav had passed away, and they were looking for a new Rav. So they invited Reb Lazer Gordon, who was not from the town of Telz. And they brought him in from afar. But there was a person in the community, Rav Abba Werner. Rav Abba Werner, he was a great man, and he was a big Talmud Chacham. And he was vying for the rabbinate that should be his position when the last Rav passes away. But the community didn't ask him. And he was offended. But even more so, he was offended at Blazer Gordon, who didn't even look to see if there were potential candidates in the community and just assumed this position of Rav. And no sooner that he met Reb Blazer Gordon, Reb Abba Werner decided he was highly insulted, and he picked up and he left the town of Telz. Well, Reb Blazer Gordon, he takes the position, and then it turns out one of the jobs he's given right at the beginning is to check all the shochtim, those that slaughter the animals, all the shochtim in the city. Go make sure that they still know their halachas, that they ever knew their halachas. And there was a shochet, a well-known shochet in Telz named Mendel Rappaport. Mendel Rappaport was an incredible shochet. Reb Blazer Gordon doesn't know Telz history. He doesn't know, should I trust, should I not trust? They told me this is one of my jobs. And he goes to Mendel Rappaport and starts testing him. If he knows his halachas, if he knows how to do shechita properly. And Reb Mendel Rappaport says, you obviously don't know who I am. I'm the king of shechita in this town of Telz. He's highly insulted, and he too ultimately leaves the town of Telz. And that's the way it goes for years and years. After about 30 years of Blazer Gordon being the Rav in Telz, what happens is a terrible fire destroyed and ravaged the city of Telz. And the city was devastated. So many homes broken and destroyed. And Reb Blazer Gordon decided to take it upon himself, I'm going to go fundraise for the community. And he decided, I have to go to England. And the Talmidim said, Rebbe, you've never gone to England. He said, I have it in my mind. I have this feeling. This time, I have to go to England to raise money. So he goes off to England, goes to London, and he's davening in the Machzikei Hadas Shul. And he gets, and he's davening, and Rav Mendel Rappaport, lo and behold, the old shochet, he moved to London, and he became a very wealthy businessman. And he's sitting in the shul, he looks over his shoulder, and he can't believe it, there's Reb Blazer Gordon, the man for whom he's held a grudge all these years. And he goes over to Reb Blazer Gordon at the end of davening, and he says, are you Reb Blazer Gordon, the great giant from Telz? He says, I'm Reb Blazer Gordon. And they start talking. And sure enough, he realizes that he's also from Telz. So they start reminiscing about Telz. And then over the course of time, it comes out that he hurt his feelings. And Reb Blazer Gordon doesn't believe it. That's, I hurt you. I didn't even know. Please, Reb Mendel. Had I only known, I would never have insulted you. Please forgive me. Be mochel me. And Reb Mendel Rappaport says, it's been so many years. Surely I'm mochel you. Don't worry. Reb Mendel says, you know, I heard what happened in Telz. You're here to fundraise. I'm going to help you fundraise for the town of Telz. But let me first introduce you to the Rav of our shul. And they go over and introduces Reb Blazer Gordon to the Rav, Reb Abba Werner. This is the Rav of the Machzikei Hadas Shul in London. And they start talking. Who are you, Reb Abba Werner? And you're Blazer Gordon. And they start really, oh, you're also from Telz. They start reminiscing. And lo and behold, he realizes, I heard his feelings too. I can't believe this. Please, Reb Abba Werner, please forgive me. I had no idea. I was just brought in. I didn't know you were there. I would never have insulted you like that. And I know, it's been so many years. Surely I'm ochel you. And the three of them decided that that Matzei Shabbos, they're going to go fundraise together for the town of Telz. However, that was a Friday, and that Shabbos, Reb Blazer Gordon passed away suddenly in London and never made it to that Matzei Shabbos. Dayan Ehrenschroy, a dayan in London, gave a eulogy at the funeral for Reb Blazer Gordon. Dayan Ehrenschroy is still around today, a dayan in London. And he said, that's what it means, Hashem mechin metzadei gaver. Hashem plans our footsteps. Reb Blazer Gordon never came to fundraise in London. And some bug in his head, a feeling he had, I have to go to London because he couldn't leave this world without getting the mechila from Rav Avva Werner and Rav Mendel Rappaport before he passed away. Hashem Eichin Mitzadei Gaver. You know, you could tell how old someone's children are based on how high the breakables are on the shelves. You know, it starts with no worry, and then the kid can do more, so you start creeping it up if you're the parent, and all those valuables get higher and higher. So I once went to, with my wife to visit her brother and sister-in-law, and we caught my nephew with the following in the following position. They had a breakable on top of the bookcase, and he, when we walked into the house, there he was on top of a stool which was placed upon the couch, and he was reaching with his tippy toes, "I'm gonna get you, I'm gonna break it," and he was like, "Right there, I'm gonna get it." And that's what I think is pshat over here with this midah of emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take away all the problems, and he says, "Listen, I'll be with you. I'll help you through the difficulties. I'll help you through getting your stability. I will be there. But if you decide, Hashem, you know what? You stay out of it. You stay out of it. I'm going to take this one all by myself. And we're going to stand on the stool and on our tippy toes on top of the couch, and we're going to try. I can do this without Hashem." Hashem says, "Okay, go ahead. Gesundheit, do it without me." And that might be the idea of Yaakov lo mit. Yaakov is not dead. He is emes. He is the midah of the aleph of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the aleph that stands for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you put that into the word, then there's no death. It's emes. If you don't have HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that factor, he's not part of my life, then perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets us live life and we think it is life, but maybe that is death. And therefore, I conclude that this midah of emes is befitting none other than Yaakov Avinu out of all the avos, and that is why in Havdalah the songs are about Al Tira Avdi Yaakov, don't be scared, my servant Jacob. We are B'nai Yaakov. We're B'nai Yisrael. And the question is, are we going to plug into this cheshbon, this calculation? In Mirtz Hashem, we should all calculate, can I do the Ratzon Hashem? Am I ready to do the Ratzon Hashem? So that way we can have a Kadosh Baruch Hu watch us, help us get married at the right time, help us make money at the right time, help us with stability, and all brachot v'hatzlachot.